Good morning. It is time to get up with the sickening Sixers. MIA in MIA. How do they seem that disinterested in their biggest game of the year? Meanwhile, the Suns rise from the ashes in Phoenix. Are they back on track for the NBA title? We've got the playoffs covered from every angle. And then TB12, ready to become TV12 for a pay raise. What Brady's Bucks really mean for the Bucks and the entire NFL. All that and more as we get this thing rolling on a Wednesday. Delighted you are here. Delighted they are here. Monica McNutt is back. Alan Hahn, Tim Allegra, we're breaking down hoops from every possible angle. And the football crew is here as well. Dan Graziano's here. Sacha will be in the house. The big swagoo Marcus Spears is ready to go. Oh, the confusion. Let's begin last night in Miami. They might have been better off playing football down their legs. The Sixers did not show up for the critical game 5. James Harden, we wondered which Harden would show up. Well, it turns out, Tim, it's the one who turns it over leading to fast breaks.
Yeah, early on, Sixers just no ball security whatsoever. The last thing you can do in an important game like this is give a team easy baskets at home.
And then the only thing they would like less than playing badly would be Joel Embiid looking hurt, Monica, but that's what we saw a lot of.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like whenever you're injured, that injury gets targeted, and we know he struggled with that back throughout the season, but he kept playing, kind of?
And then the last thing he needs, Alan Hahn taking it right in the face. Remember, he's got the fractured orbital socket.
Yeah, I mean, he's been like Norberg in the Naked Gun. Everything that could go wrong was going wrong for him in this game, and it was really tough to watch. And you know that had to hurt because of the orbital fracture that he's dealing with.
No, it's just terrible. And then in the fourth quarter, this game is basically a runaway already. It's a 22-point game. And the Heat are pushing it, and Bam Adebayo is going to finish it, and they're just pulling away. Less than a minute later, it's Jimmy Butler, Jimmy G Buckets, we call him, posting up Tyrese Maxey. That's up and good. Butler at 23, 9 rebounds, 6 assists. This one was no contest. Miami up 3-2 off the monster win. So, James, what the actual heck was that?
In the second round of the playoffs, on the road in game 5, it's not good enough just to play hard. You know what I mean? You got to play hard, and you got to be able to think possession by possession. And we just didn't, you know, put enough thinking possessions together.
I want to watch the tape or burn the tape. I'm not sure which one. I'll probably watch it because I have to, and then I'll burn it. But we'll be ready next game. We have to be.
Well, yeah, I mean, this one would have been nice. With the series up arguably for grabs, a 35-point defeat, the largest in 35 games since Harden made his debut with the Sixers in February. Overall, in 3 games in Miami this series, Philly is shooting 24%, which is not great considering a decisive Game 7, should they need one, would be back in South Beach. Last night certainly didn't feel like we're going to need one. If we seem disheartened, it's because we were all excited for this, and then that showed up. Monica, I'll give you the first crack. How do we explain? It's one thing to play badly. It's another thing that just seemed to be a lack of intensity last night that is very difficult to figure.
There's no urgency there. And the idea that you could just flip a switch at this point is bothersome to me. And yes, they have the opportunity to go home and find balance. But this was an opportunity to do something special. You allow a Miami team to continue to develop rhythm and confidence. I thought something interesting that Doc said post-game was that Jimmy Butler has been entirely too comfortable, and he said for 3 games now. And he is the guy, as his confidence grows, the pace and the confidence of this Miami Heat squad grows, so it doesn't get easier just because you go home.
Legler, I mean, tell everybody how you spent your evening last night. I liked the way you described
it. Well, I grabbed dinner, took a little long to get my meal, and then I had to walk my dog, who travels with me. He's in the hotel right now. And by the time I got back to the room with 6 minutes left in the first quarter, the game was over. I mean, the dog wasn't even interested in looking at the game. I knew I had a problem on my hands. I was so disappointed because, you know, obviously, we got 2 game 5s last night, 2-2. Well, I'm sitting down for thinking 5 hours of drama. That's what I want to see right now. Got maybe total of about an hour and a half. And that's all of the first half of the Miami-Dallas Phoenix game. Listen, I don't like the fact that I'm hearing phrases like not engaged, lack of energy. I just can't fathom how those words are coming out of people's mouths that participated in this kind of game. I understand if you don't play well, but not to say that. And it was obvious. They're being honest because that's the truth. They weren't engaged. There was no energy. There was no fight. You know, people in Philadelphia, there's a lot being made about, is there hangover with Embiid about this MVP thing. I would hope to think that had nothing to do with what we saw last night. I just think They did not have the toughness and the fight necessary for that moment.
Alan, that's not the hangover most people get in South Beach, but I'll leave that on
myself. Here we go. Here we go.
I'll give you the hangover. No, yeah. I'll give you the hangover. First of all, I bet your dog gave a better effort or more effort on that walk than the Sixers did.
Oh, he gave me everything he had.
He got, right? He gave you all he had. Well, because your stars, and like you know this, your stars really lead the way, especially on the road in the playoffs. And Joel Embiid, as we saw in the highlights there, was getting beat up. They were obviously making sure they were fronting him. They were making him work hard on the post. They were making him have to work for everything. And he had the back, he had the face, everything. But James Harden, again, doesn't show up on the road. At home, averaging 24 a game in those two games. 7-5 rebounds, 7-5 assists. But 41-41-94, his shooting slashes, and also getting to the line 9 times a game. In Miami, in 3 games, he drops down 7 points a game. He only gets 6 rebounds, 6 assists, and he's 39-28. Or his shoot. So his free goal 29-38 from 3 and only getting to the line under 5 times a game. So South Beach Flu, whatever it is, you weren't getting what you thought you were getting from that fourth quarter performance in game 4. Maybe something clicked with James. No, it didn't. It stayed in Philly.
So what now? I mean, where do they go back to Philadelphia? You heard Doc say they have no choice but to try and get ready to win that one. They need to win 2 straight games here. Otherwise, the questions will begin.
Yep.
How do you see it?
If you cannot manufacture the proper amount of energy in order to respond, then so what? And honestly, Greeny, rightly or wrongly, at this point, you start to hear about Doc's security in that position. Because if you can't get your guys ready for, I'm looking at game 5, but golly, if not a game 6, then what? And I don't know that that's necessarily fair to him, but heavy is the head that wears the crown, and he acknowledged that even he needed to be better to prepare for last night's game.
Why? No question.
Game 5 of the second round of the playoffs, and I got my coaches got to get me ready to play?
No, I hear it.
But I mean, on some level, I agree with you both. You shouldn't need it.
No.
But if the team doesn't play well, it's a reflection on everyone, mm-hmm. including the coach.
There's an incredible void of leadership on this team. I think I've noticed it all year. They just don't have those personality types amongst the players in that locker room. Look, Maxey, maybe he gets there one day. He's 21 years old. I absolutely love what he is turning into. That's not his role in this stage. You hope he plays better than he did last night, but when you're that overwhelmed and you're a young player at the start of the game and you see your other 2 star players are looking like that, yeah, it's just too much to dump on him. So it comes down and beating Harden. Yeah. Even the way they talked after the game, there's no blood boiling. Where's the blood boiling after the game? Like, that was an embarrassment. Wait till you see what we got in game 6 in Philadelphia. I tell you right now, it's not going to look like that. You just don't hear things like that. It's just, well, I don't really know what happened out there, and it was really
good. It's not good enough.
Pretty easily, and
yeah.
I don't know what happened.
No.
I just don't get it.
I mean, how do you explain that? Because that's
low energy.
I mean, there's a level of pride. I mean, look at this. The highlights that we're showing, and those are the best plays they had all night long. Look, there's one other point I think that could be made here as we watch Jimmy Butler, who's been the best player in this series.
Oh, yeah.
You know, some people look at life at how things are and they ask why. I look at decisions that were made and I ask why not. We live in an alternative universe where the Sixers decided to keep Jimmy Butler instead of the people they decided to keep. How different would things look right now? Jimmy Butler was on this team a couple of years ago. They made a whole bunch of decisions primarily to keep Ben Simmons and to pay Tobias Harris and let Jimmy Butler walk out the door.
To be fair, Jimmy Butler wanted to go.
Yep.
I mean, so you got to let
Butler
that.
Jimmy Butler wanted to go because he didn't want to play with Ben Simmons.
Correct. That's right.
Well, how does that look now?
Well, he looked around. Look, I don't know how deep those conversations got to the point where he went in and said, look, it's either Ben Simmons or me. I don't think it got to that point. I think at the end of the year, he realized Ben Simmons is going to be here because he's locked up. He didn't see it playing out the way that it did with Ben Simmons wanting to get out of town. So he looked at that situation, I think, and realized, I don't know if I can win here. I want to go somewhere where I can win. So I don't know that I necessarily put that all on the Sixers. If Jimmy Butler absolutely wanted to stay, he'd be there.
Now,
he wanted to go.
It was Brett Brown that Jimmy Butler had the biggest issue with and didn't like the leadership that he was getting from coaching there. And it goes back to the leadership thing you're talking about. And Joel Embiid is last year said that it was a bad decision to let him go and that they chose really Ben Simmons over Jimmy Butler because Ben needed the ball in his hands and they let Jimmy walk. And now as you look at it, right, where's the toughness? Where's the attitude? Where's the leadership? It's in Miami.
And
now.
Brett Brown's not there, and Ben Simmons not
right.
there
and,
anymore.
And I think when we toss the word leadership around, it's sort of this rosy wear your captain's hat. That can be abrasive. That is confrontational. That is, hey, this is unacceptable.
Yeah.
And so Jimmy has been able to find everything that he needs in terms of personality and the makeup. I know people don't necessarily love to hear it, but the Heat culture concept is real in terms of guys that don't expect, or we're not expected to be where they
and
are.
And Jimmy's culture is real. You think Jimmy Butler would have sat there in that game last night
Absolutely
and shown
not.
That kind of effort in that scenario?
The word is accountability. What
yeah.
both of you were describing. And in Miami, it's accountability from the very top of the organization all the way down through, obviously through the coaching staff, and it permeates every player in that roster, starting with your leader, Jimmy Butler. There is not a lot of accountability in Philadelphia. There's just a lot of trying to figure out after a debacle kind of what happened. Guys looking around like, I don't know what happened. I didn't see that coming. And so to me, that's the difference in how they respond. I'm really curious to see. I mean, Philadelphia can get this to a game seven, there's no question, because of the talent they have with Embiid. But look, do you have any faith that they could win
no.
two straight games
Mm-mm.
against this team?
It's very
no.
difficult to feel that way right now. We will have their game six tomorrow night here on ESPN. Meanwhile, the other game last night, Legler referred to it. It was a good half in Phoenix. Under 4 minutes to go in the second quarter, the Mavericks are actually up by 2 points. But look at the nice ball movement from the Suns. It's Ayton, it's Paul, it's Booker, and Legler, it's a slam.
Yeah, and he was so good early. The pace that Devin Booker played with at the start of the game, every time he caught it, he was in attack mode, got to his mid-range, got into his deep game. And obviously, Luka, he's going to keep you in it. And physically, he was great in the first half as well.
He had 28. That one was a circus shot there. The Suns had a three-point halftime lead. And then in the third quarter, Monica, they start taking over using defense and turning it into offense.
Absolutely. I love it when you start to see defenders flying around with tremendous connectivity. And what was curious to me in terms of what they had to deal with defensively was the Mavs going after Chris Paul. But Chris Paul was able to steady it. He still had a tremendous passing game. And DeAndre Ayton was terrific.
There's Booker. He was terrific. He had 28. The lead now is 24 points, and they're pulling away. 4 minutes to go. Booker's going to throw it up. Ayton's going to throw it down. He had 20 points, 9 rebounds. Suns win by 30, and they take a 3-2 series lead in that one, headed back to Dallas for tomorrow night. Love that game on ESPN as well. Suns are the second favorites as we speak at Caesars to win the championship, slightly behind Golden State. The win for Phoenix puts the two of those on a Western Conference Finals collision course where Phoenix would have home court. We'll see where that winds up taking us from there. But that's not all that happened last night. Holy smoke, the performance of the night was not from the NBA. It was from baseball. I introduce you to Reed Detmers. He's a 22-year-old rookie left-hander. He was a first-round pick in 2020. And with that play being ruled an error in the seventh inning, Detmers still had a no-hitter intact. But before he could go back out there, his team was blowing him away. So we got into a little bit of craziness here. So Brett Phillips comes on to do the pitching. You might say, isn't he a right fielder? The answer is yes, he is a right fielder. And he pitches like a right fielder. Look at that. I think Legs could have hit that one in the upper deck. Instead, it's Mike Trout hitting his second home run of the game. Now the Angels lead 10-0. Then it gets worse. Anthony Rendon decides, why not? I'll hit left-handed for the first time in my career.
Oh, my goodness.
A wiffle ball.
Right.
And he hits a home run. So there we go. So the Angels lead at 12-0, but that sets the stage for the main event. Back to Detmers. I mentioned he was a first-round pick. He's 22 years old. He's a good-looking kid. He's out there with a chance to make history. And here he is. And here's how it sounded. Bally Sports West.
Ground ball. Velasquez throws across. He got it! Reed Detmers throws a no-hitter!
Reed Detmers completing the no-hitter for the Angels last night in a 12-0 win. It's his 11th career start. Awesome night all the way around. All right, coming up, just call him TV12. Tom Brady reveals his post-retirement plans, but there's one giant question remaining. We will answer it for you. Plus, did you hear what Jeannie Buss had to say about LeBron and the entire mess with the Lakers? She's not happy, and we've got a lot to say about it, and we will in this hour. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Get Up is brought to you by Sneakerella, all new original movie streaming May 13th only on Disney Plus. Hey, Marcus Spears, take a look at this last night as the Heat were dismantling the Sixers. One of their biggest fans, DJ Khaled, he's in there and he's got the ball. And watch this. He's going to give Spo a little back rub. Take a look. Hold on. Come on back. DJ, where are you going? All he does is win. Get out of that.
Gee, in the words of DJ Khaled, nobody in that arena wanted him to have the ball, but God did.
And well, they cut away from it kind of quick there, but he's giving Spo a little back rub as we're going along there.
Look at him. Yeah. All right. Yeah, he's the ambassador of Miami, man.
You know, like celebrities can do a lot of things. Like, I don't know, get $400 million to broadcast football games. Oh, that gets us nicely to our next stop, to the NFL. Tom Brady's post-retirement plans were announced yesterday, even though he hasn't retired. He will be joining Fox Sports as their lead NFL analyst. And according to the New York Post, his deal is 10 years, $375 million, which is a staggering amount of money, and even more so when you consider that it is $58 million more than he has made as a player. So he's going to make more money talking about football than he's ever going to have made playing football. So I have a million questions, and the good news is I have all the right people to answer them. You saw Swagoo, Sacho is here, but Graziano, I'll start with you. Should we assume that this means this will be his final year playing in the NFL?
No. Have we not learned not to assume such things about Tom Brady? No. Look, the announcement made it clear. This is a deal that starts whenever he decides he's done playing football. That does not have to be next offseason. Tom Brady has a contract with the Buccaneers that voids after this year. Yeah, he could be playing somewhere else in 2023. He could go back to Tampa in 2023. He could go to the broadcast booth. It'll depend on how he feels at the end of the year and what he still feels like he wants to accomplish. But now this will be waiting for him. And no, I don't think it has. I don't think it's any indication that he's almost
done. Keep saying that, Sacho. I keep hearing, well, Brady may not finish his career in Tampa. He's going to be 45 years old this season. But you're telling me you could see him still playing for another team after this year?
Absolutely. Why? Because he led the league in passing yards last year.
Yeah.
He has no signs of slowing down. That's the only thing. So exciting. Man, you got this huge contract lined up. But you just led the league in passing yards. You have no signs of slowing down. You have another year in Tampa. You have the opportunity to go to a place maybe like Miami, maybe somewhere else, right? You're building a house out there. Why would you love football?
Yeah.
Why would you leave? You retired, and then 40 days later, you came back. Why would you leave?
I don't know. I mean, Swagoo, I'm dying to hear your take on any and all of this. Go.
First of all, everybody get out of their damn seat and go home, okay? UG, Sacho, Graz, we are not doing it the right way, okay? We
what is
are
that?
Not oh. doing it the right way.
Let's hear it.
$375 million. G, you've been on TV for 57,000 years, and $375 million ain't never came your way. I'm going to be on TV for 57,000 years, and I ain't going to make $375 million. And here's the other thing, too, because I hear Graz and Sacho, and I should have learned my lesson from last year. I ain't putting $375 million on hold, okay? Tom Brady's still a human. He's still a man. He going to play this season. He going to take his butt in that booth and call games for Fox. I think... like, on a serious note, I think this was the outlet, though. Like, I talked about it, G. He would be on a boat in the Mediterranean when we were talking about if he would come back or not. And obviously, that competitive nature that he has, is something that doesn't lend itself to relaxing. And we all knew that. But we all know this about the TV game. It's not about it being competitive. It just keeps you so engaged in what's going on. And I think that's what Tom Brady really wants to do. The money, yeah, great. He's made a lot of money. He continues to make a lot of money. But he wants to be engaged with the game. I think this is going to be the last year. 45 was that number after he decided to return that I thought would be a good line of demarcation for his career.
It's different, though, Swagoo. It's different being around the game versus being in the game, right? Being around the game, okay, you watch it, you study, you talk to coaches, you talk to players. Being in the game, there's nothing like it. I've called a couple games. I've played in the game. There's nothing like it. And so I don't think that calling games will scratch that itch to be in and around the game of football. And so
– Hey, Sacho. Sacho, you ever known anybody to make $375 million being around the game?
But you know what's great? He could make the same in the game. He could make the same playing. He's making make 25 this year playing. Let him make another 25, 30 next year, right? So you could still play, make just as much per year or close to just as much per year. He's taking a discount, right? Aaron Rodgers is getting 50. He could make the same and still play. So why not do that?
And the money would be sitting there for him whenever he decides, right? I mean, whenever they made it clear at Fox yesterday, and why wouldn't you? They'll wait until he's ready to come and take their $375 million. I can hardly say it without laughing. Graziano, go.
God bless America.
That's the question. So Jesus. If he decides at the end of the year, like it this year, I want to step back, I want to retire, the question that enters his head is, well, what am I going to do instead? Now he has an answer. So whenever that is, again, I'm not going to sit here and say it's going to be a year from now. I can't assume that. But whenever that is, at least he has that answer. If that's enough, that's only for him to decide.
I remember him once asked on the field, when will you retire? And he said, when I stink. He didn't say stink. He used a word I won't use here. Well, that hasn't, to your point, it hasn't even begun to show itself yet. So we'll see. All right, we'll come back to this. We also have an announcement of a very interesting NFL game as the schedule comes out. We'll get to those. But first, let me crash the net. Stanley Cup playoffs continue last night. It begins with a great comeback in Toronto. Auston Matthews, the game winner in the third as the Maple Leafs beat the Lightning 4-3. The two-time defending champs are on the ropes, down 3-2 now in that series. Meanwhile, the Bruins are on the brink of elimination after a rough night in Carolina. The Hurricanes scored the first four goals of the game, two of them from Seth Jarvis. 5-1 was the final. Carolina as a 3-2 lead in that series. To St. Louis we go, where the performance of the night came from Vladimir Tarasenko. He scored three times in the third last night, a natural hat trick as the Blues beat the Wild 5-2. St. Louis has a 3-2 lead in that series. And then the thriller of the night was in Edmonton. The Oilers' Leon Draisaitl scoring twice in the third to tie it up. But a minute into the overtime, the Kings' Adrian Kempe scored the game winner, so LA takes the 3-2 lead in that series. They're all going the distance in the Cup playoffs. First round rolls on tonight with three game fives. Penguins looking to finish off the Rangers, 7 Eastern on ESPN. Then we have Caps, Panthers, Stars, Flames, all the action here on ESPN and on ESPN2. All right, coming up, it was a Game 5 disaster for Joel and the Sixers. How could they not show up for their biggest game of the year? Jay will make his way in here. We'll talk about it. And then the genie is out of the bottle. Lakers owner Jeannie Buss unloading on the state of her franchise. Wait till you hear what she had to say about LeBron and the future. That's next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Start your mornings with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Every weekday at 6 a.m. Eastern, they answer the pressing questions around the sports world.
Let's talk about Steph's legacy.
They're going to probably draft an explosive guy.
And deliver their hot takes on breaking news and new developments.
The Lakers are one of the worst jobs in the NBA.
Tune in every weekday at 6 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
We actually have Jay Williams in our studio right now. And in case you're just joining us, it was a disaster for the Sixers in Miami last night in a variety of ways. They didn't play well, and Joel Embiid got beat up all night long, Jay.
Yeah, I mean, look, that's an inadvertent hit right there. The ball hits him in the face. I get it, but I love the fact that Joel Embiid came back on the court and continued to play.
Yeah, he's toughing it out in every way. He looked like he had a back. The ball hits him in the face. Remember, he has the fractured orbital socket. So, I mean, he's just doing what he can. The Heat were up 12 at the half. And then in the second half, they just pulled away completely. James Harden was a total no-show.
I got to be honest, this game was over in the first quarter.
Yeah.
Like, we're showing highlights of the fourth quarter where they're almost up 30 in this game. The Miami Heat dominate this game from the beginning all the way to the end.
Jimmy Butler leading the way. He had 23 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists. The Heat win by 35. They have a 3-2 series lead. And after the game, Joel deflated.
This is a lose-lose situation for me. If I don't play, probably get called soft. And, if I play and I play bad, probably come up with a bunch of stuff that I guess is just not good enough. So it's all about really, try to dig very deep and try to do, whatever I can.
All right, so that's what Joel Embiid said. I promised you, Jay Will. What was your reaction to that?
That really bothers me because I don't like Joel Embiid after getting blitzed on the road in the game 5 where there was no sense of urgency from his team from the beginning, right? Then coming out and saying, hey, it's a lose-lose situation for me because don't cry victim to me, Joel Embiid. You're not a victim. You know how you change that narrative? You play your tail off and you get your team ready to play their tail off and you win the game. You go win an NBA championship. That changes all the narratives. So my thing is this team is leaderless and that is the problem about it. You know, when they had Jimmy Butler on his team, he was willing to say all the difficult things to Joel Embiid, to the head coaches. Now, they didn't like it. They rubbed people the wrong way, but there were things that needed to be said and he said them. What I hear from Joel Embiid, what I hear about James Harden talking about, it's not just about playing hard. It's about, the details again. You're giving me all these excuses. I don't want to hear excuses when you're in win now playoff mode.
Yes, I agree. I agree with literally every word you said. I would add also no one would call Embiid soft if he was too hurt to play. He's got a torn ligament in his thumb and a fractured orbital socket, and he had a concussion 2 weeks ago. But he's out there on the floor, and his team is playing with no urgency. That's what stunned me, and we talked about it at the beginning. How do you explain a team playing what is inarguably its biggest game of the year and coming out looking as flat and lifeless as they did? You're pointing at Jimmy Butler.
This is Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
So you know what? When I see and just I go into the psychological aspect of games.
Sure.
That's just how I live. For him, when he's seeing all the stuff that's happened with the choices that Philadelphia has made.
Yeah.
Oh, you want to pay Tobias Harris? Oh, you want James Harden to come in and be? I'm going to take it personal. So 87 points in 10 quarters against his opponent, it's personal for him, where it doesn't feel personal for anybody on the 76ers unit.
I totally agree. We talked about that earlier. Imagine living in an alternative universe where they still had Jimmy Butler. I don't know if they would win a championship, but they would never look like that in the biggest game of their season. All right, more on that as we go. Meanwhile, I need your take over here with the rest of the basketball crew on this interview published yesterday in the LA Times. Fascinating. From Lakers owner Jeannie Buss, in which, among other things, she voiced her displeasure with where the Lakers are as an organization. LA missed the playoffs despite having the fourth highest payroll in the league. And while she threw her full support behind the general manager, Rob Pelinka, she also says she's taking advice from familiar faces like Magic Johnson and Phil Jackson. Here are some of the quotes. As far as the influence that LeBron James and Clutch Sports have on the franchise, she said, do they have the final say? No. Are they running the team? No, not at all. She then added about LeBron, I want him to feel confident in the team that we have the pieces to win a championship. He has to be happy. I want to make sure that he's happy. So this obviously got a lot of attention yesterday for all the obvious reasons. We've put together an unbelievable panel to dive in on it here. Monica, I will give you the first word. What was your first reaction when you read it?
That was nice, but also duh. Like, you should not be happy, and I appreciate your attempt to let us behind the veil. But also, didn't Magic dip on you one time, and Phil Jackson's record in the front office isn't so glamorous? So I don't know if I'm encouraged by this, honestly, if I'm a Lakers fan. It just kind of is a state of affairs.
What'd you think of it, Jay?
I kind of disagree with that. I like this because I think this is a move by Jenny Buss to say, hey, look, I'm openly admitting to some of the moves that I made that weren't right. Now, I know we may question all the people on her board to help her make decisions, but it's showing some accountability to me from their leader. And she's saying, hey, at the end of the day, this all falls on me. That's what it said in the article. It doesn't fall on Rob Pelinka. It doesn't fall on Kurt Rambis, Linda Rambis. Doesn't fall on the coaches. It falls on me. And I like her having accountability. I think it's a first step in the right direction.
Yeah,
that's me.
I agree with that part. There's a lot of pressure on her. Obviously, her father gave the franchise to her, not her brother, to her, to run this thing. And so she puts a lot of internal pressure on herself. But she went in the article naming six people, five if you mm-hmm. want to make Linda and Kurt Rambis Rambi, because it's plural. So you have Magic Johnson back in the fold as well. You have Phil Jackson also having some influence. She's admitting all of this, but saying they're not making decisions. But are they influencing decisions? And if you don't have one strong voice of leadership in the organization, one person that makes that decision, if it's her, it sounds like she's asking for a lot of help along the way. And that's when you lead to where you are right now. All these voices of influence, all these people trying to get what they want, and it leads to the chaos that we've seen this year.
When you have that broad range of people that we're mm-hmm. talking about involved in this process, there is no possible way that all of those people see it from the same perspective
right.
on what they need to do. And that's what makes it very difficult when you've got that many different types of voices, right? And different types of people, coaches, former players, people that she's just close to personally. All these voices, the one thing you don't get from what she said is there's no transparency exactly on who does she trust the most mm-hmm. to make these decisions. I agree with what you said. There's some accountability there. She's basically saying, listen, we paid all this money. We're this deep into the luxury tax. This is nowhere near acceptable. Well, yeah, we all knew that. Mm-hmm. But what is now gives people confidence to think that the voice that you're most reliant upon is the one that's going to help you turn this around. That's what we still don't know.
And, Legs, to your point, none of those names instilled a great deal of confidence in me.
Right.
So, like, we talk about the collaborative forces. I mean, this feels like we've done this before, and it has not yielded results.
See, I just feel like with all these names, you have to take them in doses, right? And granted, maybe she didn't say that, but so with Phil Jackson, all right, what aspects do you see of the best coaches? What coaches are available? Hey, Magic, who do you think will best collaborate with LeBron James? So you can get feedback, but how you interpret the feedback is everything for Jenny.
Too much okay. feedback is noise.
Yes. Can I say, I agree with that, but can I just say one thing? It's one thing to take a lot of people's opinions into account. It's another thing to ask too many people the same mm-hmm. question, because if you get six different answers, now you're in worse shape than you were when you started. But we have not mentioned the most important person in all of this, and that's LeBron James.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're LeBron James and you're sitting back, Stephen A. Smith said last week on First Take, the Lakers should consider trading LeBron James. Not only was he right, but I will go one better. He should want that. He has zero chance of winning a championship in L.A. in the next 2 years. He has a much better chance of doing it someplace else.
And
go.
It's a lot harder for them to do what they're trying to do, which is rebuild or reface that roster. And like you said, when she said, we got to get it right, it's like, how many people? Who's all this we? But LeBron is one of them. And she expressed her loyalty to LeBron, want him to be happy here, which might suggest he's not. And therefore, maybe what makes him happy is moving on. We heard him say last month he would love to play with Steph Curry. I mean, there's an option there if you consider both franchises, because number one, the Golden State Warriors know their window right now with Steph Curry is starting to close, but there's still time. And what better way to get a championship or two than bring in, like they did with Kevin Durant, a superstar to play with him? They've got young pieces. They did a great job for 2 years to get them. And why not see if you can make something work where, for the Lakers, you get a couple of young players, and Anthony Davis becomes your centerpiece, and LeBron gets a shot at more rings, and so does Steph Curry.
Hold on, I feel like we've just, Monica, what is that face?
She hates when I do this.
James Wiseman, Jonathan Kuminga, Jordan Poole, they have young players. You'd probably have to put a big contract in there, so that would be Klay Thompson.
Send Klay Thompson home, maybe?
My cautionary tale, if you're the Lakers, is those, Poole in particular, emerged in a system. What is the Lakers system going to be? I don't know why everybody's still so thrilled about Wiseman. I get it. There's still mm-hmm. so many questions before I can reasonably look at that as a deal.
What do you think, Legs?
Man, I think that would go against everything the Warriors are about.
Yeah.
I just can't see the Warriors wanting to buy into that. You and I talked about this yesterday on your radio show. You know, LeBron, I really believe this. Does he want to win every year? Of course he does. But I also do believe he's also at a place he's comfortable in his own skin now with what he's done. He lays it out there and says, man, this is what my resume says, and I'm at peace. I sleep well at night. I don't think that was always the case with LeBron. I think he was up at night worried about his legacy and how he was viewed and how he was critiqued compared to Jordan and all that stuff. I think he's at a place now. He loves to play. And he got beat up last year when he said, I'm having a time of my life because he was putting up 30 a night and they were losing. And people took that as like a losing mentality. I took it like, you know what? The guy loves basketball, and he's just saying, I still get to play basketball every day. And I'm in a different place mentally at this stage of my career.
Should we live in a world where LeBron James is not on the Lakers as soon as next season?
I think that is a crazy, erroneous take. And just the fact that you agree with Stephen A. Smith about this, we are talking about one of the two greatest basketball players to ever walk this planet.
Right.
You just don't let him go after he had an MVP year at 37 years old. You just don't let him go. Like, you try, you make it work because LeBron James wants to make it work in LA. His family is there. He's built a whole culture around there. He wants to be there. So now you're going to tell me, oh, I'm going to. No way. I don't think that's the legacy of how LA would work. LA should own that and move forward and fight for it. You just won a championship 2 years ago. And this whole last thing about LeBron going to play with Steph Curry, like, when are we going to have some kind of competitors in the damn league? No way, Legs. I'm not going to play with Steph Curry. You beat me in the finals. I want to beat you. I don't want this.
What are you doing?
You're yelling at Legs. It was Allen.
Because I'm just angry by it in general.
Yeah, I said it's a terrible idea,
man.
Then let's finish with it.
Sorry, Allen.
Don't apologize. I'm trying to be creative. I'm trying to make something.
You lost all control.
Something happen, and I agree with Stephen A. though. Like, if you're the Lakers, you're looking at not from the LeBron standpoint, from the Lakers standpoint, how are you going to build something when that trade to get Russell Westbrook blew up your roster and blew up your chances to repeat as to get a championship?
And from everything that I've heard, for the people that seem know about these things, that was LeBron's decision, right? I mean, it was LeBron who was in on getting Russell Westbrook.
If LeBron is not on the Lakers, what are the Lakers? You going to go see Jordan Poole and James Wiseman?
I don't know.
And Klay Thompson and Russell
Westbrook?
Didn't
even make the play-in this year. What are they?
Old enough to remember when Anthony Davis was on ESPN's list as the second best player in the league.
Yeah. So here's how it works for LA. LeBron's like, oh, I want that guy. And everybody's like, oh, yeah, it's all your fault. Because nobody else had a say in the matter at all, right? Nobody else stuck up and said, well, I disagree.
And amazingly, the playoffs go on without the Lakers. Yeah. And the Leafs continued on.
They do. And that's a perfect way for me to tell you. We have two critical game sixes tomorrow night on ESPN and the ESPN app. We got the Heat and the Sixers at 7 Eastern. Then we got the Suns and the Mavs. We'll be here for Countdown starting at 6:30 Eastern. That's tomorrow night here on ESPN. Meanwhile, a tribute to a legend that we have lost. Sad news today from the NBA, and certainly for all of us who grew up in the 70s. Hall of Famer Bob Lanier had an enormous impact on the game. He has died after a short illness. He was 6'10". He was the number one pick in 1970 after he led St. Bonaventure to the Final Four. Played 14 seasons, most of them in Detroit, then in Milwaukee. Averaged 20 points, 10 rebounds, legendarily battling the likes of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in the post. In his retirement, he stayed very much a part of the game. Lanier spent more than 30 years as a global ambassador and a special assistant to the commissioners, both David Stern and Adam Silver, traveling the world, teaching young people about the game that he loved. Silver called him, quote, one of the kindest and most genuine people I've ever been around. Bob Lanier was 73 years old. I'll be right back.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
We are back with Unbeatable Plays, brought to you by Xfinity, Mavs and Suns. This was unbeatable. Devin Booker throwing it up. DeAndre Ayton throwing it down. He had 20. Suns win by 30. They're up 3-2. Game 6 tomorrow night in Dallas. We'll have it here on ESPN. Meanwhile,
The big Swagoo is here, and so Marcus, the game is called Swagoo, What's Up? Here we go. Swagoo, what's up with Tom Brady's post-retirement career?
Man, a man richer, G. He got money. He got another bag. Not a bag, he got a bank. See, we say bags, that's the peons, that's the little people. A bank is what Tom Brady just got. They said, listen, man, we're going to give you enough money to literally start your own bank over the next 10 years. It's a beautiful thing. Only in this country can you get paid $40 million for talking for three damn hours.
That's exactly right. The next one, Swagoo, what is up with Nick Chubb squatting 675 pounds?
Gee, the first thing I thought was he out of his damn mind. But these are young legs. I did similar things to this. Not that much weight. But we put that weight on our back because we think that's like when we get out on the field, we're going to run through people. Nick Chubb don't need to do that to run through people. Nick Chubb just doing that to show off. You see them young cats around him? That's a high school. He's letting them know it's levels to this game, bro. I'm at the highest level. Y'all down here, get your weight up.
The bar looks like it might snap. Mm-hmm. Finally, Swagoo, what's up with the Dallas mayor campaigning for another NFL team?
Yeah, gee, I would expect his letter of resignation by noon on Monday morning, okay? Because this is not going to happen, and we all know it. And we all know that Mayor Eric Johnson, who made this statement, is promoting Dallas. We've been talking about it, so it's a phenomenal brand idea. It's just an idea that you don't want to get on the wrong side of that dude named Jerry Jones.
That's exactly right. By the way, speaking of your Cowboys, we had an announcement this morning. So you know that as the schedule is coming out in sort of drips and drabs here, that tomorrow night will be the full schedule night. They just announced on Fox that this game, November 13th, will be Cowboys at Packers, which, among other things, will be Mike McCarthy's return to Green Bay, McCarthy versus Aaron, and an extraordinary traditional rivalry, one of the great rivalries the game has, and an important game between two teams we think are really good. So let me put the squad together here. Sacha, I'll start with you. I'm telling you right now, we're living in a world where one of those two teams is going to wind up in the Super Bowl. Either the Cowboys or the Packers are going to be the NFC champ. Which one are you telling me it's going to be?
I don't. Is this like a virtual reality?
It's going to happen. I'm telling you right now.
I can't go Cowboys. I mean, I'd have to say Packers if I had to pick one of the two. I still believe this is a false reality, right? A false choice. I don't think either one of those teams is going to be in the Super Bowl. But out of those two, the Cowboys historically, really, neither team has really been able to get it done, if I'm going to be honest, right? Like the last time Green Bay won was 2010, right? That's when they went there, Aaron Rodgers, and they've lost consistently. Cowboys, once again, they've lost in the playoffs consistently. And so if I had to pick one, I would go Green Bay just because of Aaron Rodgers. And that's pretty much about it.
Let me put it this way. If I had said a year ago Cincinnati was going to be in the Super Bowl,
exactly,
that would have been a lot more far-fetched
true
than Cowboys or
that's
Packers.
True.
Come on, Graziano. Cowboys, Packers, who's making it?
I agree with Sacha. I would take the Packers because of Aaron Rodgers. You know I don't think the Cowboys can repeat because nobody repeats in that division. I don't see who's going to push the Packers in their division, so they go in with a better seed. I give them the better chance.
Let me go to the future mayor of Dallas, and that is Marcus Spears.
What's he going to say?
Who, Cowboys or Packers, Swagoo? Who you got?
The Green Bay Packers. And I know y'all wanted like some kind of like big
reveal.
I was going to try to figure out a way to weave that thing in there, G, but I can't. It's the Packers, bro. Like, listen, I want the Cowboys in there, and y'all know that. I want them to go to the Super Bowl. But when I look, we've talked about it. And beyond 2010, what Sacha just talked about with Green Bay getting there, they also been in, what, two or three other NFC championships here recently? So they've gotten closer to the mountaintop than Dallas has even sniffed. The Dallas Cowboys lost to the San Francisco 49ers last year in the first round of the playoffs, and they should have been a better team and put a better performance together from an offensive standpoint. That's my issue with Dallas. Like, early in the season, offense. Yeah, this team can go to the Super Bowl. They are Super Bowl contenders. They can go deep in the playoffs. Fell off a damn cliff. Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers didn't fall off a cliff until the San Francisco 49ers game in the playoffs. I have more confidence not only in 12, but the Green Bay Packers. I've seen them closer more recently and more times than the Dallas Cowboys.
Can I ask a question, though, Swagoo? Because you played for the Cowboys. I grew up in Dallas. We've watched this.
Yeah.
Why does this always, even before media, I understand media props up the guy, but why does this always happen? I remember the Cowboys, right, for like a five-week span, they were averaging almost 200 rushing yards early in the season, right? And then they were winning. And when all of a sudden, Something happened, and it seems like every single year, even going back to Tony Romo, right? The botch snap in the playoffs. Something always happens. Can you tell me why, Big Swagoo? I used to watch you, and something would happen when I watched you. Tell me, bro.
Why, Swagoo? Why is it?
G, because we have the worst damn luck in the world, okay? Oh. Listen, man. Listen, man. I was a part of a rookie year when Tony fumbled the damn extra point snap or the field goal, bro. Yeah. But like we trying to get there. I was there when we beat the Giants twice in the regular season and then lose to them in the damn playoffs. I don't know. I don't know the answer. I was there when Brett Favre went to Minnesota and we stopped Adrian Peterson from going over 50 yards rushing and still lost the damn game. Okay,
ooh, yeah.
Y'all don't bring this back up. Don't bring this back up, Sacho. I don't know.
Time,
it's bad luck. That's all.
I was at that game. Yeah.
The last time the Cowboys played the Packers in the playoffs, the Cowboys should have won, and they overturned a catch, and that wound up changing absolutely everything. Okay, yeah. Let's let Swagoo have a moment of recovery as we seem to have lost him. Let's enjoy a quick wake-up call. Our buddy Michael Kay had an unbelievable call last night. It was a crazy finish at Yankee Stadium. Michael, take it away.
And the 1-2. To left field. There it goes! See ya! Up for grabs! There's his walk-off home run, and the Yankees have come back to win it. 6-5. Oh, man! What a blast by Judge!
It's a great call by our buddy Michael Kay. First walk-off of Judge's career. His major league leading 10th home run of the season. The Yankees have the best record in baseball. Meanwhile, coming up, what the actual heck happened in Miami last night? The Sixers, MIA, in MIA. We'll try to explain it next.